Yeah, good morning, everyone. Welcome to my talk about Crystal, a language for humans and computers. I'm glad some people were able to crawl out of bed this morning, this early slot. I'm going to talk a bit about Crystal, what's special about it, and what's currently going on with it. This is my information. If you want to reach me, you can follow the slides. Just check out the QR code or to the URL. And if you want to play along a bit with Crystal, you can, you find an URL there to install it, or the online playground where you can just, try it out in the browser. My name is Johannes. When I was at university, I had some compiler tech courses, and I thought, okay, it's nice to be aware of what's like going on there when you build software, but I mean, I won't need that. There are plenty of languages already there and smart people who build them, so let them do that. Yet here I am presenting a relatively recent programming language. Sometimes scopes change. I was really amazed when I first encountered the language Ruby, because it is a really fun language. It's a joy to work with it. And a couple years later, I discovered Crystal, which is very similar to Ruby, but a bit different. And it expands Ruby in a way that I find very attractive. That makes a lot of sense. At the time, Crystal was still very young. I mean, even now, it's not an old language. But at the time, lots of like basic stuff was missing, and I started contributing simple additions, bug fixes, then bigger features. Eventually, I became a core team member, and I have the pleasure of working on Crystal full time at Manas Tech, the place where Crystal was born and which continues stewardship of the project. And somehow, I ended up as head of the project. Let's talk a bit about how Crystal came to be. So Manas is a software agency from Argentina, international team, and we build software for clients with different technologies. One of those technologies is Ruby. We love that a lot, especially Ruby on Rails. And while Ruby is really great, there are some things where you could think, maybe doing it a different way would also be nice. For example, Ruby doesn't have really type safety. Performance can be an issue, distribution of your programs, because you basically need a Ruby runtime to run them. Concurrency can be a bit of an adventure. So it's also always like a programming language is a set of features and compromises. You can't have like everything in one. I mean, Swift maybe tries, but there's always, you can do stuff either that way or that way, not both. But a couple of guys at Manas a couple years ago thought, what if we could evolve Ruby to compile it statically. So they started something, and it's a Hello Crystal. Crystal was an experiment just to see what could a static Ruby look like. The compiler was originally written in Ruby, then grew into a language and an ecosystem, and became like its own language. If we want to characterize what Crystal is, I mean, you can have some formal description, like it's a general purpose programming language, it's object oriented, garbage collected, and all that, but I think a simple formula is just lots of goodies from Ruby, because Ruby got lots of things really good, plus adding static typing with type inference. We have we compiled native machine code, so it's super fast. And has a strong intuitive concurrency model, so you can write concurrent applications really well with it. So basically, we take the best from Ruby, add a bit more. And again, the big line of programming, Ruby is very dynamic, so you can do lots of stuff. You can even alter the program at runtime, so at the end, it does something different than it did in the beginning, whatever. You can do lots of stuff in Ruby, it's super flexible. With compiler language, static typing, you don't get that much flexibility because lots of things need to be defined ahead of time. So Crystal moves a bit into the static direction, but without losing too much of the dynamic feel that Ruby has. And that makes it really good for lots of applications. I mean, instead it's general purpose, and I've seen from operating systems to 3D games and command line applications, servers, you can do basically almost anything with it. To expand a bit on what this, how this looks like, so if we have this code, method add, that calls like the plus operator on its two parameters, this is perfectly fine Ruby code. It's also Crystal code, but if you think Crystal is statically typed, so where are the types? There are no types here. Still it works, because the compiler is able to figure out what the types are in what place. So the first call is with two integer arguments, and the compiler knows, okay, then we have this add method. It's instantiated with two integer arguments, so we need to figure out what happens next, the addition operator between integers. And the other call instantiates the method again, but with different arguments. This time, they're strings. It's a bit like function templates in C++, for example. There's not one method, but multiple ones, and the compiler is able to infer all that typing information that it needs. So basically, like explicit typing is actually rarely necessary. We can do that. I'll show that later. But you still get all the benefits of static typing. So this compiles down to very, very simple and efficient machine code. If we do something that doesn't work, we get an error. Like you can't add a number to a string. The compiler tells you that. I have no method to call there. And this happens in a dynamic language like Ruby as well, but only if you actually execute that code. Because the types are only known at runtime, so if you never reach that code, you will never know that there's an error there. But with static typing and the type inference from Crystal, you know that as soon as you compile the program, that this won't work, and you need to write it a different way to make sure the compiler is happy. So that gives you a lot of peace of mind. Like, code that can't work can't be compiled. If we want to add type annotations, we can do that, and it's often is useful because, it clearly defines the invariance that the method expects. It helps for better error messages, and especially for public API methods, like it's super good to have documented what the method expects as inputs or transfers outputs. So types are often good, but you don't need them, especially for small like helper methods. You can just leave them out, and the compiler will do its thing. This is another very simple example of a program that reads the message from the standard input, then turns all the characters in uppercase and writes that to the standard output. If we want to run that, the compiler says, no, that's not going to work. And you need to know that the gets method, which reads the string from standard in, it returns either a string or nil. And nil indicates that the input was closed. So this is maybe an error state, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say about it. But it can be a string or it cannot be a string. And if we want to call the upcase method, which expects a string, then that needs a string and not maybe a string or maybe something else. So the compiler won't be happy about it, and you need to explicitly handle the case that is this is a string or not a string. So here I'm adding a simple condition that asks whether method is a string. That condition is applied at runtime, and the code inside the if expression is only run if the expression is true. So inside the branch, the message variable is restricted to the string variant of its type. So we could add an else branch, and in that else branch it would be nil. Of course, with nil you can't probably do much, but think about more complex types, then this gets a lot more interesting. So what's behind this is union types, and the concept is then called flow typing, which restricts variables according to what's possible at the current location in the code. Another very powerful aspect of Crystal is metaprogramming. So where we can modify code at runtime, we can do that at compile time. So this is basically code that writes other code. This looks a bit like a template. And yeah, basically that is a template that evaluates to other code. We see here we define a getter macro, which expands then to a method that acts as an accessor to an instance variable and also defines the instance variable itself. This just saves a lot of boilerplate code. This example is actually taken from the standard library of Crystal, of course a lot simplified to fit into this slide here. So the real thing is much more complex, and there are other similar tools for defining setters, and both together, setter and getter. So there's lots of stuff you can do that, which makes the code really concise. And Crystal has a lot of batteries included. So for example, HTTP server library is part of the standard library. And this is a simple example of how you can run with just what comes with Crystal, a simple HTTP server. Of course, you can do much more than just print a Hello Crystal response. But this works really well. It's fully concurrent, so this program can easily handle tens of thousands of requests, no problem. The nice thing about Crystal is really its concurrency, which works with fibers that are like this code here. The spawn method spawns a new fiber, executes the block in that fiber, and this is its individual string of execution. So it's basically like a thread, but much, much more lightweight. So the operating system is not involved. It's all handled by the Crystal runtime. And it's an integral part of the runtime. So all code is implicitly async. There are no colored functions, no callbacks. As soon as we reach some call that would block because it waits for I/O or whatever, the runtime automatically switches to a different fiber and comes back whenever the original one is ready to execute. So now let's take a look into the crystal ball. Like, there's some clouds here, what's currently going on, what we can expect in the future. Our main focus right now is multi-threading. So as I said, concurrency is great. Multi-threading is not exactly there yet. Crystal has had multi-threading support for actually a very long time, but it was a bit like simple approach. We just took the single-threaded scheduler and moved it to different threads along each other, but there was no connection between them. So a fiber was assigned to one thread fixed, and it would always run there, even if another scheduler would have slots available, the fiber can't move. So we have introduced recently the concept of execution contexts, which allow a more powerful multi-threading runtime. This is currently in a preview, probably will be enabled in the next release. We'll see about that. But it will, by default, it will still be all single-threaded, just because multi-threading has some safety issues, which like the entire code base needs to be prepared for. And that's another part, thread safety. Crystal, the language itself, was designed from the start with thread safety in mind. So that's not a problem, but parts of like the code bases, because Crystal has so long been mostly single-threaded, code bases are not necessarily prepared for multi-threading. So there's some work ahead there, even inside the standard library, mostly related to system interactions, like environment variables, which is super hard to do thread-safe. And of course, some container structures yeah, they need to be thread safe or things may explode. So this is what we're currently working on. Another topic is IO Euring, the Linux event selector. It's also in a very final phase. We've been working on it for a while, but it might come as a preview in the next release. Yeah, and finally, a big piece of work is Windows support, which also Crystal has had for a long time. Pretty good. It's working really well, except for a few tiny things which are still need resolving, but we're working on that, and I hope it gets resolved soon, so then we can say Windows is super fully supported, which basically it already is, but we won't say that until really everything is in the clear. If you want to learn about Crystal, we have a language reference with also a small tutorial that should get you started, and the exorcism track, Crystal is really good. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being here at this early hour, and I'm happy to take any questions. Okay, your question?
How can you pass functions as arguments?
So the question is how you can pass functions as arguments. Functions are, that's called procs. So they're captured into basically a function argument, a function pointer, and a context pointer. And these together you can pass around, and then they're called. Basically, what you saw in the fiber example, the do end block, that gets captured into a proc, which is essentially a function, and then passed around to the fiber where it executes. Yeah.
Well, compatible is Crystal with Ruby. So if you take Ruby code and try to compile it with Crystal, what is the chance that it will compile?
Yeah, so the question is compatibility with Ruby, if you can take Ruby code and execute it as Crystal. With very simple programs that could work, but Crystal needs some type annotations here and there, especially for instance variables that need to be typed, because the compiler would have a hard time figuring out what the data types are. So you may need some additional pointers there to turn a Ruby program into Crystal. Also, some other things have changed, like in the standard library. It mostly aligns what is based on Ruby ideas, but some things we just changed because we thought, okay, we can do better, or modern at least, and we're not tied into that Ruby compatibility. But what you can also do is interact between Ruby and Crystal. So, for example, there is a library called I think it's called Crystal Ruby, but I'm not sure. I have to look that up. Which essentially lets you compile Crystal code and expose that in Ruby. So you can call the Crystal from Ruby inside the same process, essentially.
Yeah, and are there any, converters or whatever, some programs that could add type annotations for Ruby code or, standardized workflow for this?
So the question is about converters or standardized workflows to convert from Ruby to Crystal. Not that I'm aware of. It usually is more complex work that is probably hard to automate in that way. I think that's why this probably doesn't exist. And I think because of the way Crystal works, you usually need some different approaches. Or it's better to not use the Ruby way in some things, because you can do it much more efficient, for example, with some Crystal idioms.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What is the performance?
Wait. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Meet me outside if you have further questions.